Well, hello, everyone. I hope you're having an awesome day. It's so good to be with you today. I'm Michael Graff. I'm the director of the Significant Church Network, and I'm filling in for my dad, Pastor Jim, today. He's out of the country, and I know he's missing being here with all of us today, and he's looking forward to being back on our next webinar 2 weeks from today. But don't worry, because we have an awesome guest that I know we're all going to love getting to spend time with and hearing from today. We have Pastor Joe Caminiti Jr. joining us. Pastor Joe, he served under his dad for well over a decade now. Pastor Joe Caminiti Sr. there at Believers Church in Warren, Ohio. He's served in many different roles. I know he was creative director for a long time. And right now he's the executive pastor of Believers Church. And he's also the lead pastor of their campus in Boardman, Ohio, that they launched a few years ago. And man, he's doing awesome. If you were at our leadership retreat, the National Leadership Retreat back in January and February, you heard him speak, and you know that he's just a great communicator. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, the art of communication, how to captivate when you communicate. And we were going over it a little bit earlier. And, you know, I know we have a lot of great communicators, seasoned communicators that are joining us today. So whether you're that, you know, I've seen it with my dad and different communicators that even, you know, when you've been communicating for a long time, man, it's good to continue to be sharpened. Or maybe, you know, you're new at communicating, or maybe you don't even communicate that often. You're a worship leader or someone and you just, you know, communicate little bits here and there. I really believe what he has to share is going to sharpen us all, and it's going to be good communication and a good time today. So I'm looking forward to it. So without further ado, you guys join me in welcoming a good friend of the network and a great personal friend as well. We love him, Pastor Joe Caminiti Jr. What's up, Joe?
What's up, everybody?
How you doing, man?
How's it going?
Good. It's so good
to see
you. I'm
doing awesome, man.
You're looking great, brother. You're looking great.
You too, always, man. I'm excited to be here today.
Good. Thank you. How are things up in your neck of the woods, up in Ohio?
They're beautiful. Things are good.
Good.
We have like a storm rolling in, of course, right when we're about to start this. So I'm just praying that our internet holds out and everything's all right.
Amen. We're all in agreement. Why don't you, before we get into the topic and everything, why don't you share a little bit? I know you have, you've done a lot there over the last decade plus, and why don't you share a little bit about yourself, about, you know, what you've done, the journey to where you're at today, and a little bit about what you and your wife Erin are doing there in Boardman.
Yeah. So it has been so fun to get to know all of the different pastors and leaders within the network, especially during the conference. Quick plug for the conference in January or early February, whenever it ends up being. We would love to meet you there. It is such an awesome way to connect with people that are on the same journey and mission in life and ministry. And I've grown up my whole life in the same church, Believers Church. Feel called to this area of northeastern Ohio and western Pennsylvania. And really, as a byproduct of growing up in the same local church, one of the things that has absolutely marked my life is messages and moments where we get to hear the word of God preached and communicated in all kinds of different environments. I was thinking about as young as 5 years old and 6 years old, just different illustrations that my children's church teachers would use and different ways that they would help us to memorize scripture. And all of it could be traced back to just good communication. I still remember, Michael, there was this leader in our youth group. He was just a volunteer. Today is a school teacher in California. His name was Dan. And he was just preaching as a young adult to a room full of students. And I was probably in eighth or ninth grade. And I remember he preached a message called Humpty Dumpty. And he took the story, the nursery rhyme Humpty Dumpty, put it to a rap and talked about the message of the gospel and redemption and how all of us were broken and we had a great fall. And the king put all of the pieces together again. And I don't remember anything else from that message, but 20 some years later, that communication was so compelling and so creative that it stuck with me at 36 years old. Wow. And so I think of another time with my dad. We were doing a series called Clean and Dirty, and he preached the message from a dumpster. and I'll never forget that. And so there's something to this captivating people when you communicate. And I think so many people disqualify themselves if they're not a professional communicator. And so today, hopefully, we can kind of debunk some of those reasons that we disqualify ourselves and just have a conversation that I think will help all of us grow as communicators.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, I'd love to hear you do that rap for us at the end. If you can do that for us, that'd be great.
I was hoping you would ask.
All right. Well, before we jump into the topic, because I believe what you're saying, I think it's going to be fun to jump in and explore. But let's go ahead and welcome some of our new Significant Church members.
Let's do it.
So excited, man, every time we see new members coming on and just to see what God's doing in small county America and really all over the world. So welcome, guys. Mm-hmm. We're so glad to have you on board. Let's welcome Brian Adams from Brian Adams Ministries in Jackson, Ohio, Andy Andros from Mississippi County Baptist Church in Jonesboro, Arkansas, Rocky Byers from Next Level Church, Dallas, Grapevine, the great state of Texas, Corey Chesser, North Vernon, Wesleyan Church in North Vernon, Indiana, Nathan Deming from Mount Zion Church in Gainesville, New York, Rob Fisk from Heart Mountain Ministries in Crossville, Tennessee, Aaron Jones, New Hope Church, Waldorf, Maryland, Jim Millerons from FBC High Falls, Jackson, Georgia, John Parks, Peaceful Valley, Maxwellton, West Virginia, Dylan Pulin, Redemption Church of God, Winsboro, South Carolina, Randall Sims, Grace Point North, Meridian, Mississippi, Mississippi? Yeah, Mississippi. Eddie Smith, Faith Family Church, great name. Jefferson, South Carolina. Stan Tharp, Christian Life Center, Dayton, Ohio. Brian Walker, Grace Tabernacle Community Church in Bettsville, Maryland. George Wallace, New Life Ministries in Lebanon, Tennessee. Daryl Webb, The Lighthouse in Lake Mary, Florida. And Eric Wanjala from God's Nature Outreach Ministries in Nairobi, Kenya. Welcome, guys. We're so happy to have you on board and to have you as part of the Significant Church Network, part of the family. And if you're tuning in today, we just want to welcome you. Or if you're tuning in later, we want to let you know that we are so glad to have you and welcome you. All right, Joe. Well, let's go ahead and jump in, man. Talk to us a little bit about your heart on communication. And why don't we do this? Why don't you talk a little bit about why it matters?
Yeah, that's such an important thing to just remind ourselves of why it even matters when it comes to communicating and honing in on that craft. And I tried to just put it as simple as I could. The reason that it matters in our context as leaders within God's church is because we just so happen to be communicating the most important message in all of history, right? The gospel of Jesus Christ, right? And man, what an incredible opportunity, what an incredible responsibility that we're communicating something that literally has the potential to change someone's life and change their heart from the inside out. And maybe the question might even become, well, okay, so it's great that we want to be good at communicating, but why captivate when we communicate? And I really believe it's because Jesus never did anything less. And man, if we have the most exciting message on planet Earth, I really believe it ought to be a crime to bore somebody with it. Like, I think that should be the last thing that should ever happen when it comes to sharing the message of hope that we have. And so, man, I want to talk today, just share practically how each of us can, in our own way, captivate. And here's what I want to be clear about. I really think we could have named this talk 10 tips to teach like Michael Todd, you know, 7 steps to preach like Stephen Furtick, but that's the opposite of what we want to do today. Right. Actually, we believe that each person here has a unique gift and ability that God placed on the inside of them. And we're all called to captivate. We're just called to captivate in different ways as we communicate. And so that's what hopefully we can help each person to tap into. And I want you to think about this, whether you preach every week, and there's definitely a group of people here who, man, what a weight that you carry, that there's Sunday's always coming, right, Michael?
Right.
There's always the next message that we have to come and preach. But man, I think there are just as many people who they're preaching or they're communicating in front of a Sunday school class. Right. Or maybe you're just leading a team at your church And what an incredible honor. And I think we could all agree on this one point, that there is nothing we do in the kingdom of God that we can do apart from communication. Right. And so if we're called to communicate, we want to communicate well, because we're trying to get people to go from A to B. We're trying to get them to move forward in their relationship with God. And that can only come by clear, compelling, captivating communication.
Yeah.
And so I want to just start out with a couple of reminders, and I'm going to invite you to do this. If you have a notepad around, or you want to pull out your notes app on your phone, there are probably some things that are going to stand out to you, and they'll be different for each of you. And so jot down what stands out to you. And then I think what will happen naturally is in your individual staff meetings or your different team conversations, this will be really great food for thought and conversation starters. And so I want to just start off with something that might seem so obvious, but I'm going to say it because it's something I need reminded of every day, Michael. And it's just to remember why we're doing this. And to put this into perspective, if we are charged with communicating the most important message in all of history, then I think perspective is important. And the very first thing I put for us to remember is to check our motives. Like, why are we doing this? If there are people on this chat, and I'm sure there are some that know, hey, I have a gift from God to communicate, or some that maybe feel like I have a desire to communicate more, but I'm just getting my start, then I really, really, really think we have to remember that this is a privilege and a responsibility. And in our church, whenever we have people that express a desire to communicate, one of the very first things that I try to remember and remind them of is that God loves you way more than he loves your gift. And there are so many people. I mean, there is a graveyard stacked a mile high of ministers who were really gifted, amazing communicators, but did not work on the character. Mm-hmm. And it brought them to stages that ultimately destroyed them because they weren't prepared for what they were called to do.
Right. I think that's good.
Go ahead.
I think that's good. I think that's just such a great place to start, because it's so important that we're grounded. I love that you mentioned that Jesus was creative and he was compelling. You know, that it's good to be creative, compelling in your own way. There's so many different communication styles, but being captivating in the way you communicate is a good thing. But man, you know, starting with a focus of being grounded, which is what you just went into and why that's important. Talk a little bit more about that, Joe. I know you had a few more things to say there. Sorry.
No, that's beautiful. Yeah, and I mean, these are quotes that I wish I could know who to attribute them to. I heard them years ago, but these might be worth writing down. If you are doing any kind of communicating, especially when it comes to standing on a stage, because man, what a difficult, challenging thing we are tasked with. We are preaching the message of the gospel. We're lifting up Jesus, but we are the one that is visible. And it is so easy to get these things mixed up. And so I wrote this down years ago, and it's always stuck with me. A stage doesn't make you, it just exposes you. Mm. Here's another great quote. When pride walks on the stage, God walks off. And so for as long as I can remember in my life, it has been this sobering thought that I am entrusted with something that's really important. Mm-hmm. This is what James chapter 3 says about it. He says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. And so if this is a desire in our heart and we feel like, man, I have a gift or a calling to communicate, amen, amazing. That's a great thing to desire. But then it is equally important to remember that this is a privilege and a responsibility. And really where you see people start to get into trouble is when what they're preaching on the stage is in misalignment with what they're living off of the stage, right?
Right.
And so anytime we get up on the stage and share from the Word of God, it doesn't mean we'll be perfect. It just means that we're on the path of growing as a follower of Jesus, and our gifting is not outpacing our character and what we're doing off of the stage. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good, man.
No, that's awesome. All right. So, let's keep moving. Or go ahead, Michael. Did you have something you wanted to add in?
You shared a couple of scriptures about Paul earlier when we were talking.
Yeah.
And I thought they were kind of interesting. I don't know if you want to share those real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think this is just fun to remind ourselves, because when you're growing as a communicator, you always think, man, by the time I get up to the big stage, then every message, I'm going to just knock it out of the park.
Right.
And Any pastor will tell you that that is just sadly not the case. You're going to have some good days. You're going to have some bad days. And I thought Paul was a great example of this. I'll just give you 2 points in his life. So we're going to give you a really high point and then kind of a low point here. Acts chapter 13, verse 42, as Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. I would say that's a good day. Yeah. You know, you get invited back. We want to hear more from you. And man, what an encouraging day. Now let's go just one chapter later. All right. This is the difference of one chapter, Acts 14, 19. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and they won the crowd over. And they stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. This is what you call a tough crowd, Michael.
I've heard of not getting invited back, or maybe not getting a standing ovation, but to get stoned is pretty bad. That's a bad day.
That's a bad day in ministry, man.
It's amazing.
I venture to say as bad as it's ever gotten for any pastor watching. I bet they have never been stoned.
Yeah, that's pretty. Not in the biblical sense. Just kidding.
Not in the biblical sense. That's we so got funny, a few man. I could mention by name that might have done it. But okay.
So, it's funny what you can find in the Bible when you read it, when you really read it, huh? When you look close. That's so funny. I've read that so many times, and it's just hilarious. But it's, you know, what's amazing, Paul didn't give up, right? He didn't quit. Thank God he didn't quit after a bad day. And, you know, we've all had bad messages. Yeah. We've all had, you know, times we get off the stage and we know it wasn't our best. But thank God you haven't quit. Thank God that God can still keep using us, right? And so we have a lot of people watching, Joe, who are called, like you said, you know, to communicate, to preach. So I know you have four tips that you were going to share with us. Why don't you want to jump into those?
I sure can. And before we do that, let me maybe just have a little bit of fun with everybody just to get the juices flowing.
Okay.
So,
all right.
If you can think as a pastor or communicator of a funny moment, communication fail, if you will, throw that in the comments, and maybe if we get time, we'll read them. I wrote a funny one down from my dad. This is one going back quite a ways. And by the way, my dad is a phenomenal communicator, and you just preach often enough. I mean, most senior pastors, you're preaching 40 plus times a year. You're in front of people a lot. You're bound to have some funny moments.
It's gonna happen.
So,
yeah.
It's just going to happen. So I asked him to send me a reminder of what happened. And so this is what he said. I was teaching on a Wednesday night. I had the youth on the stage in front of the stage. So it was a message that was really going to pertain to the students. We were talking about sex, as a matter of fact. And my dad wrote a book many years ago called God's Opinion on Today's Hottest Sex Topic. So it was pretty intense night. And so he's got these kids all around him and he's reading the verse, Psalm 150, verse 6, and it's, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. But instead of breath, Freudian slip, he said, let everything that has breast praise the Lord. And I think it took him a full 30 minutes to get anybody back. I mean, like, it was, you had all these kids surrounding him, and one of the funniest moments ever. And so maybe you can think of a few moments in your life and throw them in the comments.
Yes, but, we have plenty too. I won't expose Pastor Jim's because I'll let him tell them himself. Maybe he'll put some in the comments. But no, that's funny.
I would love to hear
it. So funny.
No, that's amazing. So, hey, you know, I'll say this, and then I want to jump in. If you watch 10 different people and 10 different communicators, they're going to have 10 different styles and 10 different ways of doing it, and they can all be correct. And so, I want to be careful. Not to in some way suggest that what I'm going to be sharing is the way. But I think what we're going to do today, Michael, is we're going to just lift some commonalities from all great communicators. There's some basic things that all of them are doing well. And I think this is going to be helpful. And so really the question is, all right, what separates a good message from a great one? Because there's a lot of good messages out there.
Right.
And then how about this? I don't want to just make someone do something because the Bible says so. Right. I mean, on that basis alone, I guess I could thump people with the Bible all day long. But the goal isn't just to make them, it's to move them to do it, right?
Right, that's good.
And so this has to be our goal. This is what Acts chapter 14, verse 1 says. And I love the wording here. It's at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. And there they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. So who doesn't want to speak effectively? And I love the end result that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. So, man, how cool would it be as a pastor, as a communicator in my youth ministry, in my children's ministry, that I could have a mixed crowd, some people that are believers, some people that are non-believers, all in the same room, and I could speak so effectively that I could help all of them come to a deeper knowledge of who Jesus is. That's the goal, right?
Right.
And so that's what we want to do today. I've said all I can say. You ready? Let's jump into point number one.
All right.
All right. And at any given point, you just add in anything that comes to mind. But here's point number one, and it's going to sound so obvious, but I can't tell you how many communicators I will watch and they will forget number one. Here it is. You've got to know your audience. You've got to know your audience. Jesus modeled this, right? He was talking to farmers. He would use stories about farming and analogies and illustrations about farming. This is really what the parables were. He was talking to fishermen. He would talk about fishing. He was brilliant when it came to knowing his audience. Paul modeled this when he brought, when he was brought to the Areopagus in the highest court of the land. He quotes their own poets at Mars Hill. In Acts 17:23, he says, "I passed by an altar to an idol that said to the unknown God." It was a cultural reference. He knew his audience. And I just think it's healthy for pastors to know this. It's not a sin to let the people you're preaching to know that you live in the same world that they do.
Right.
And so are there little clues and hints in your messages and in your moments of communication where you're reminding them, hey, I'm living in the same crazy world you are. I'm living in this world with inflation that's sky high, with wars and all kinds of craziness all around us, with a culture that is very counter to what we're preaching in Christianity. That is such a helpful thing to keep in mind. Actually, one of our core values at our church is that we build bridges, not barriers. And so this comes out of what I think most people in this group would be familiar with, but it's in 1 Corinthians 9. I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. And I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. And so this is just on the most practical level. I can't stress this enough. Let's just think about every time I construct a message, who am I sharing this message with?
Right. You're right. You mentioned Jesus did this all the time. He would take something that people are familiar with, right? And then it would help them understand something new. You know, it's just a great connect point, a great way. Even the simplest person was able to understand the way Jesus would communicate. In fact, sometimes it was the religious people or the really smart people that have a tougher time. That's a whole different webinar. But yeah, I love that. You know, being able to find that common place with people that people understand, knowing who you're talking to, and helping them be able to expand that further. You just talked about bridges, not barriers, which I love that phrase. Can you talk a little bit about how that plays out?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay, I'll give you a couple of things that can happen in a message that can create an immediate barrier. All right. And this is like the absolute nightmare of most communicators, is that at the very beginning of my message, I have isolated myself from the people that I'm trying to share with. So I see this happen a lot in communication. I'll give you a real practical one. Just using the word "we" instead of "you." And so if I'm pointing out a condition in our culture, I could say, this is what you do. This is what you're guilty of. This is what they do. And immediately it puts them in a defensive posture. But the reality is, if I'm honest, I struggle with things that are coming at me in the culture just as much as the next. And say we're teaching on joy. Well, if I, at my very honest, most authentic point, I could say, you know what? There are moments every day where I have to fight for my joy. And so if I could say, this is something all of us struggle with, this is something that we need to do, then it puts us in such a different place as we're listening to the communicator, because we start to desire a solution and we start to want to know, well, what is the thing that God has to say about this, rather than feeling like, man, he's just preaching at me, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's so good. What people are feeling from you when you're communicating, right? Does this guy want the best for me? Does this guy see me? Does he understand me? which I think is really good. I think when you use we, it helps people know, hey, I understand. You know, I understand. You know, sometimes when you're preaching down to people, it's very easy to feel like, well, he doesn't really understand me, you know. And I think in our culture, right, it's so important to feel seen, to feel understood, to know that you, you know, the old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? So I love that.
That's it.
I love that a lot.
If we could just even, if we could just realize that, like, hey, my goal isn't just to communicate the truth. My goal is to make people hungry to hear it. And yeah, so if I'm serving up, you know, this amazing four-course meal, but I serve it on a dirty plate, yeah, and it doesn't matter how amazing the plate is, if the presentation is off, nobody's going to want anything that I've cooked. I could have a, I could have the world's best Kobe beef filet mignon on a plate, but if it's got a dirty plate and I hand it to them in an angry way, then they're not going to want to eat it. And so if we could just remember that it's not just what I'm saying, it's how I'm saying it,
right,
that opens people's hearts to the gospel.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, let's, you want to talk about tip number two, Joe?
Yeah. And real quick, I'm sorry, I'm taking you on a wild goose hunt here.
I like it.
Before we jump to two, I want to just make one other statement. And I think this really helps when it comes to building bridges to people. It's just being real.
Yeah.
Being real. This is something that the Apostle Paul was brilliant with. I want you to think about this. Any communicator that you like to listen to, go through your podcast in your mind, the people that you keep coming back to, I bet they're not the people that have it all together and tell you, here are, you know, 50 different tips on how my life is amazing. I bet they are the people that are transparent and authentic.
Yeah.
This is something that I know Pastor Jim is brilliant with. My dad is the same. Almost every week that my dad preaches, he tells on himself. He's going to tell you an area in his life where he fell short, a story of a moment where he failed at the topic he's talking about.
Yeah.
And this is what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, this is interesting, Michael. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Yeah. I heard one preacher say it this way. If you can preach from your weakness, you'll never run out of material.
That's awesome.
And so if we can just commit to, you know what, God, I'm going to bring every part of my life to this message. And of course, I want to have victory in that area. If I'm still struggling with something, then it might be disingenuous to preach a message of victory in that area. But man, all of us are growing and we're in process.
Right.
And so actually one of my friends, Noah Nickel, who's a great pastor, he heard one preacher say this and quoted it in a message. And I'm not sure who originated this, but he said it this way: the most powerful message ever preached is me too. If we can just get on stage and say, hey, I know you're struggling with this and I have too, can I show you how God's walked me through it? There's something so powerful about that.
Yeah, that's good. I love that you don't neglect the journey to get there. You know what I mean? It's important that it's important to us to get to a place of health, to get through, you know, not to be, you know, sometimes you go to those where people are almost proud of their testimony, almost bragging their testimony. Yeah. But the way that we represent it, that no, you know, we're real. We're so thankful for the victory that we have in Jesus. But let me tell you, it was a victory. You know, we're all human. And I think, you know, they say a lot of times with like movies and shows, and even sometimes when you watch sports, a lot of times when you love a character, there's something in that character that you see that you relate to, or that you see yourself in it. And I think when people feel that from you as a communicator, they're going to want to listen. You know, they're going to want to hear what you have to say. They're going to be interested because they think, you know what, this guy gets it. This guy's real, and I can see myself in that. You know, we're all human, so we need to be human. You know, and so
I can share. You know, one final story, just a quick story of something that my wife got to do. She shared on Mother's Day, probably about 5 years ago, and she preached a message called Scarred for Life. And she talked about Jesus and how, you know, when he resurrected, he's God. He could have chosen not to have the scars, you know, where the nails pierced his hands. But actually, that was the very first thing that he showed them as proof of who he was. And so she talked about how God allows us to walk through our scars so that ultimately we can leverage them for life and help other people to get free from their wounds and their hurts. And so she shared a pretty vulnerable message about some different struggles she had had in her life. And she was in a place of victory at that point, which was cool. So she was able to say, hey, this is where I was. This is where I am. But I remember that day, it was Mother's Day. It was not the typical Mother's Day message. And she was so nervous to share it because she was being very vulnerable. But that day, Michael, in one service alone, I don't remember the total count, but we saw 39 people make a decision to follow Jesus in the one service that day. Wow. And there was a grown man. He was like a biker guy, came up to me, tears running down his eyes. And he said, that was the most moving message I've ever experienced. And what she shared, she's a mom in her early 30s.
Right.
And it's resonating with this guy that was a biker guy. And it's all because she was just real.
Yeah.
And just shared from her struggle, witnessed from her weakness. And so such a powerful thought. All right, here's number two. You ready?
Let's do it.
Number two, stories help it stick. Stories help it stick. I was thinking about Jesus. If you look at the life and ministry of Jesus, Jesus loved to tell stories. Here's a great example. This is Matthew chapter 13. Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these when speaking to the crowds. That's interesting. It says he always used them. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. This fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet. I will speak to you in parables. I will explain things hidden since the creation of the world. There's something to a story. And Michael, I was researching this years ago, and I discovered this resource called The Science of Storytelling. And so I think most of us know that when someone starts a message off with a story, there is something that grabs us,
right?
And it gets us right out of the gate. But there's a science behind it, which is really cool. So listen to this. Boring bullet points activate the Broca and Wernicke's area of the brain. So this is like our language processing parts. But when we are being told a story, things change dramatically. Wow. Not only are the language processing parts in our brain activated, but any other area in our brain that we would use when experiencing the events of the story are too. Isn't that crazy?
Wow, you're living it. Yeah, that's awesome. That's interesting.
It literally puts you in the story when you hear it. So if someone tells us about how delicious certain foods were, our sensory cortex lights up. And if it's about motion, our motor cortex gets active. And so it's crazy. Now, whenever we hear a story, we want to relate it to one of our existing experiences. This goes back to what you just said, that you see yourself in the story. So that's why metaphors work so well with us. While we are busy searching for similar experiences in our brain, we activate a part called the insula, which helps us relate to the same experience of pain, joy, or disgust. And I really believe this is why Jesus was so relatable.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, storytelling has been in our culture and our DNA for forever, really, right? So it's no wonder that it does something deeply to us. I think it's good news because a story can add so much to a message, and there really are elements that craft a good story. You know, it's timeless. There's reasons that, you know, great authors are able to do what they're able to do. And so I think that's encouraging for us as communicators, because we can learn from storytelling in a big way, not only how to have good stories that are going to help our sermons, but in some ways I think good messages and good sermons, some of those elements also apply to the sermon as a whole. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And so let's just dive in for a second to how this could look. Okay. So if you have a message and you know, hey, I want to talk about this particular topic, sometimes, and this happens in different ways, depending on how my message starts. But are you still with me?
I'm still with you.
Okay, cool. My video is freezing, but I'm going to keep plowing through.
I can see you. You're good.
Perfect. Okay. So, you know, maybe for some of us, we know, all right, I want to talk about this particular topic. Then just beginning to think about, all right, is there a practical example, or maybe even a funny example?
Right.
And we all have different personalities. I'll give you one example. I was preaching on Jesus, the bread of life, recently. And so I had this story that I had kind of stashed away, and it was just a funny thing that happened to me. And I was like, I'll probably never get to really use this in a message. But it was so funny. I was talking about how most people think they know Jesus, but they really don't know the real Jesus. And so I was going out of Matthew chapter 16, and he was asking his disciples, you know, what are people saying about me? And then you remember what he says? He says, okay, but who do you say that I am? And so many people relate to Jesus in an improper way because they have an improper view or an incorrect view of who he is. So it made me think of this funny story. Last year, I was at an event and I was talking to some friends. It was a conference, and out of nowhere, like it kind of startled me, I felt not like a tap, like I felt a really hard smack on my rear end. And so, you know how your mind starts racing and you're like, what is going on? And all in the matter of like 2 seconds, I pieced together what was happening. I kind of remember it in slow motion. I turned and I see this person that I don't know from Adam. I have no clue who he is. And then I remember the moment where he realized the same thing. And so we started to piece it together and he thought I was somebody else. And so he hits me really hard. And then it's so funny. He felt so embarrassed that he stayed for a full 2 minutes out of obligation, I think, just to get to know me, you know? But what happened there? Well, he thought I was somebody that I wasn't, and therefore he related to me in a way he never would have if he knew who I really was. And so there's a great example. It took me probably a minute and a half at the very top of my message, but it gave people a good laugh.
Yeah.
It teed me up for the big idea.
Right.
And I was able to go off to the races and share something that hopefully would stick.
I feel like humor, and especially humor in the way of stories, is just such a good barrier breaker. You know what I mean? People just kind of tend to let their guard down when they laugh. That's what's so great about humor. So,
so true.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So true. And it could be a story that is more moving and meaningful.
Right. There can be meaning.
You'll know what fits.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Absolutely. All right. Are you ready to move on?
Let's talk about number three.
All right. Number three. You want to read it, Michael?
Sure. Never forget who this is for.
Never forget who this is for. And I think this is just so healthy for us to, you know, if you're with a group of people right now at lunch or wherever you are, why don't you just turn to them and say that? Say, this isn't about me.
This isn't about me.
This isn't for me. Maybe even throw that in the chat, because it is so easy to get that mixed up, right?
Right.
If we stand on a stage, and usually when you're talking to somebody that's new in communicating and new to preaching, they get so nervous. And really, when you start to unpack why they're nervous and anxious, it's usually because there's this fear that I might be embarrassed,
right?
That I might make a fool out of myself.
Right.
And I really feel like the moment that God started using my messages and taking them and doing something beautiful with them was the moment that I could relinquish control and realize that it was never about me to begin with, you know?
Right.
And
that's right.
There's something freeing that happens when I can do that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I know for me, you know, anytime I'm getting ready to communicate, it helps so much to get out of yourself in a sense and really think. I even will think about someone that I know, you know, that I feel like could really use this message, or maybe a few people on my heart. And when I begin to approach it right in that way, that really the goal is that these people feel three things for me, at least I feel when I'm done speaking. I want them to feel loved. I want them to feel seen, and I want them to feel helped, practically helped, right? And so that, to your point, that kind of takes you out of the equation a little bit, takes some of the nerves and the fear out of it, and really it helps you keep focused on the goal, right? When I walk away, I want these people to feel this, and you filter everything that you put on that paper through that, and it's helpful for me. So I love that point there.
That's powerful. I remember one of my favorite preachers growing up, his name is Rick Bizet, has an amazing church in Arkansas. And he used to preach at the camps that I would go to as a kid. And I heard him say this. He said, never speak without finding at least one person in the room that looks like they're hurting, and preach the message with them in mind. Isn't that good?
Yes.
And so if we can just, you know, as we're even building and constructing the message, usually I'm thinking about, man, I'm thinking about that single mom that's going through this, or I'm thinking about that friend that I know is struggling with this. And so it's not just communicating information, but it's communicating something that I would if I were sitting over coffee at a coffee house with them.
Right.
It's seeing it from a different vantage point. This is what Jesus would do. He would always minister from compassion. You look right. through the life and ministry of Jesus, and how often does it say Jesus looked on the crowd and had compassion on them? And so there's something we can tap into when we kind of step out of ourselves, like you said, and we remember that this was never about us to begin with. And if people walk away and remember the name Joe Caminiti, then I have failed. I have actually failed my mission. But if they walk away and there's a practical step they can take in their journey with Jesus, and if they walk away, they're challenged to have a better marriage and walk in purity and holiness and walk in love, man, then we gain some traction. And that all starts with how I see the people that I'm preaching to.
Yeah.
This is what Hebrews 4:15 says. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin."
Yeah, that's good. And don't you think, Joe, too, it just makes it feel different, doesn't it? You know, whenever someone is communicating and you can kind of feel that it's about their communication versus when someone is communicating and you can really feel like this person wants to help me, you know, it's yeah. just even easier as a communicator to come across that way when it's genuinely what your goal is, when it's genuinely where your heart is. My heart in this message is that you get help, is that you get, you know, that yeah. you're seen, that you're loved, that you're, and then it doesn't have to be fabricated. Yes, it can be continue to be developed, right? We can continue to grow in our ability to communicate that. But if it doesn't come from a genuine place, it's harder, you know? And I think people can feel that. So I think there's so many benefits to that.
You can feel it instantly, huh? Because I mean, I think about, you know, and I'm not going to say any names, but there are certain communicators that are actually, they're phenomenal with crafting words and sticky statements, but I just don't believe that they want what's best for me or that they even care about me.
Right.
And then the people that I keep going back to, though, they're the people that I really believe that they have something to say to me and that they care about me as an individual. And man, how important is it to remember that the people we're preaching to, we used to be them. Mm. I think that's why guys like our dads do so well, is because they're preaching to the person that was them when they were 19 or 20 years old yeah. and far from Jesus. And man, how powerful is that to remember that used to be me?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's kind of what takes it from being an entertainer to being a pastor, right? Or to preaching or whatever you want to call it. It's not bad to be entertaining. You know, it's good to be captivating and to be entertaining. But like you said, the goal is for people to walk away. We want to see them discipled. We want to see them growing. Yeah. We want to see all those things. So how it's being received. So, I love that. Tip number three, never forget who this is for. Joe, you ready to jump to tip number four here?
Let's do it.
Let's
All
do
right.
It.
Fourth and final one. Keep going to the grinder. Mm. And I made this one fun because here's the picture I always see in my head. We're called to serve up the meat of the word, right? This is what we're called to do. And so, I always think about a meat grinder, and, a meat grinder cannot do what it is designed to do if we don't keep feeding it meat, right? Mm-hmm. If we don't keep putting it in. And so our ministry, our messages, they come to a grinding halt if we don't have a steady flow of God's word coming into our soul. Mm. And God forbid we ever be people, that are kind of professional preachers and do not have a daily relationship with God and his word. And so this is my challenge to every person, and this will probably be the greatest challenge you will ever have as a preacher of God's word, is to make sure that my relationship with God's word is not just relegated to getting the next sticky statement and finding out what I'm going to preach in the series that's happening 2 months from now, because the countdown is on. That struggle is real. That is a real tension. But man, if we can have daily time where we encounter God's presence and daily time where we open up his word just so we can get to know him better, then the ideas start to flow. And Michael, I was thinking about this. If we're called to be we're called to be chefs that serve up the word of God. If you look at any chef's kitchen, there's one really important thing that happens long before they ever prepare the meal. and long before they ever cook the meal, I should say. And it's the food prep. They literally have a word for it. It's food prep. And honestly, if you watch these shows, a lot more time goes into the prep than goes into the actual cooking. And so, I think it is so helpful and vital to make sure we have some practices in our life that helps us to collect and to develop the flavor profile and everything that we're doing as a communicator. If we're talking about meat, really good meat, it needs to marinate, right?
Right.
And so the difference between a good message and a great message is a message that has been thought about and labored over and prayed about. And so I just want to give you a couple of different things that I think will help build a flavor profile in your messages. All right. So this is, we're going to get real nitty gritty and we're going to just get practical here. And I'm just going to share with you some things that I've learned over trial and error. And at any point, if you want to jump in, please throw in your thoughts and listen in the comments. Give us your tips. What are some ways for those that communicate every week? What are some great tips? What are some great apps that help you? What are some different approaches that you take that help you to craft a great meal? All right. So here's a really honest question. And there's only one way to answer it. This is just between you and God. How much time are we putting in? You know, anything that is worth doing well. And it takes time.
Right.
And I would venture to say that when Michael gets up on the stage to play the worship set this weekend, it won't be the first time he's played it. Am I accurate in saying that?
That's true. Thank God. I'm glad. Yeah, it won't be the first time.
That's it. And so how much time are we putting in this? All right, here's a really big one. And this is like something I've had to make myself do. But have you practiced saying your message from start to finish multiple times before you preach it?
Right.
This is a really big one. And for me, this was honestly, I think this was the hardest practice hardest thing to put into practice. And here's why, because you're always a little bit more confident than you should be.
Till you see it back, right? Till you watch it back. Yeah.
And so, you know, I would see all of it on paper and it would make perfect sense how I could get from the intro to this first scripture and from this first scripture to the main point and the second point. But our brain tends to fill in the gaps. And honestly, the best way that I would start to realize if my message was half baked or not is I would start to just share it with my dad or my wife or somebody that was whoever was around me at that moment. And if I was struggling to get from one point to the next, then it meant I needed to take some more time.
Right.
And so, you know, one of the tips that I would give you is this is what I do lately. I just turn my voice memo on and I try to preach the message. Sometimes I'll break it into sections and I'll just say, I'm going to preach from the intro to point two. I'm not going to stop. And then I'm just going to listen back to it. And it is so excruciating and it's not fun, but it is so helpful.
It is. I feel like, you know, tell me if you have the same experience, Joe, but I feel like you can really feel what the message needs in a different way when you approach it like that. When you're on paper, it can seem to flow, right? And then you start to talk, you're like, oh no, I need a story, or no, I think I need something funny, or oh, this is a lot of information. You know, I think when you start to allow yourself to play it out, it's much better to do that in your office when you're going over it than it is to do it on stage and you're feeling it in the moment, right? So I know for me, that's a huge benefit of actually speaking it. You find the same?
No, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
And I just wrote it this way. If you don't like saying your message, you can be guaranteed people won't like listening to
there
it.
There you go.
So I don't know if you guys can relate to that, but there have just been moments where I'm like, I don't even like this. This isn't good. Well, that's probably a sign that I need to go back and I need to refine it. And so that's a big thing. How about this one? Write it down when you get it.
Yeah.
Most ideas worth anything come at inconvenient times. So just any of the great communicators that I know, they just have kind of a system for capturing ideas. And so for me, if I were to wake up in the middle of the night, which isn't that always when you get a good idea, it's in the shower, it's when you're sleeping, it's when you're driving. But I have this habit of emailing myself the idea. And then I have a folder and it just says messages/ideas. And I think I have like 10,000 emails in there because it goes back to like 2011.
Wow.
And then if it's an idea about peace, I'll just label it peace in the subject. I'll label it whatever I think I need to. And then if I go to preach on peace later that year or 3 years later, for that matter, I can search peace in that folder. And that idea has been marinating and the flavors are building. And by the time I go to build the message, I might have a third of it already done.
Right.
And it sets the tone before I ever start.
That's good. Let me ask you this, Joe. You were talking about time a minute ago, putting the time in. Just for a practical, you know, so maybe someone say, "Why? What is a good amount of time to spend on a message?" Do you have an answer for that? Do you have a typical amount of time that you would spend on a say a weekend message?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I just think it varies. Like I remember hearing a pastor I really love say, "I spend 45 minutes start to finish writing my message."
Oh, my
and he
goodness.
Did like a manuscript style. And I was like, that is not me. I think for me, it takes a good 30 hours from start to finish. And I'm not saying that's all in one sitting, but it's going to take some time. And so this is why I think it's so helpful to plan ahead. I know Faith Family's really big about structuring what series are we going to be in and what is the summer going to look like in the fall. And when time is on your side, then that flavor profile starts to build and you're not in this time crunch. Because nobody feels confident when the message got finished at midnight on Saturday, right?
Right.
Like, then we're just as terrified to preach it as they are to listen to it. And so I think, though, everybody varies. Like, somebody that's been preaching for many years might say, you know what? It only takes me 10 hours, or it only takes me 5 hours. And so I wouldn't even focus so much on how much time it takes, as much as I would on having some of these key elements present. And then here's the next thing that I'm going to say, and this is the most painful, but it's the most helpful. It's feedback / watch back. Mm. If you want to grow as a communicator, you have to get feedback.
Yeah.
Can I tell you the most painful thing I did early on? This is going back probably almost 12 years ago. There was a consultant that was helping our church. His name is Sam Chand, and he is a hilarious, brilliant communicator. And he offered to me in my early 20s, if anytime you preach, if you would like to send me your messages, I'll tell you what you're doing well, but then I will critique you so you can grow. And you want to talk about the most terrifying, painful experience, but I would send him my messages. I still have them saved to this day. And he would watch them. And then he would give me all the things that I did well. And then the list would always be a lot longer on the other side. And he'd tell me all the things I need to work on. Some of them were things I would have never thought of. Like, I'm a right-handed person. And so he said, because you're a right-hander, you intuitively go to the right side of the stage too much. So you have to be intentional about going to every part of the stage.
Wow.
Just little things like that. Slowing down the cadence of my communication. Just things, the filler language.
Right.
How many pastors say, amen?
Amen.
Okay.
Right.
You know, just, and really what it's coming from is we don't have a clear path of where we're going to go next in our message.
Right.
And so this is painful, but it is so beneficial. And then maybe the most helpful one isn't even having other people tell you, it's you watching yourself.
Right.
And I hate that. I don't like how I sound, how I look. Nobody does.
True.
But it is so helpful. Because then the next time I communicate, that is in my mind, and it's a factor in how I'm communicating this time. Right. So I hope that's helpful.
Yeah.
And
I know that's something my dad to this day watches himself every week. Anytime I'm doing something, I'll do the same. I remember even my grandfather, dad tells stories. I mean, he was in his 70s, you know, and been preaching forever, and he would watch himself every week, you know, just to keep getting better. And what I love about what you're saying is that, it's just like any gift God gives us, right? We want to do our part to work, to continue to develop the gift and to make it the best that we can. But we always want to remember the source, right? That way, all the work we're doing in stride with Him, and we're accomplishing what it is He wants to accomplish through us. And so I love kind of both sides of that working together.
No, that's beautiful.
Man, well, those are four really helpful tips, Joe. I really appreciate it. I know before I let you go, and we'll pray and let everyone go, you had some just kind of like bonus practical tips. I don't know if we could just run through them quick. Maybe they can put them on the screen.
Yeah.
But I just wanted you to share them with everybody just so they could hear them, because I thought they were really, really helpful.
Yeah, let's rapid fire these ones. All right, so these are just other random tips for what they're worth. Have a clear main idea. if someone walked away from my message today, what would they remember? And make sure that all things are pointing to that main idea. Learn to edit yourself. It's better to say a few things well than a lot of things just okay. And if I could be transparent, that is the one I have to work on the most. Actually, they say in your early years of ministry, you won't have enough to say. In your later years of ministry, you have too much to say. And so actually, the longer you've been at it, the more you have to work to edit yourself.
Right.
And it is such a helpful process. And so being honest, that's the one I struggle with the most. And my dad is really helpful with me after the fact in helping me figure out how I can edit it for the next service and so on. Here's a list of elements I try to include in a message. And I understand that some messages, it just doesn't make sense to have a humorous story. But if you can, try to have some humor. Try to have some facts that engage people on an intellectual level. Because there are some people that they don't respond to because the Bible said so.
Right.
And so if you can help, just like we talked about today, engaging them with science and psychology, man, God created those things. So engage them with that. Scripture, obviously, and story. And then here's a fun one. Have a left hook. And so here's what I mean by that. Have something that towards the end of the message can really grab them at a soul level and motivate them to go do what you've been talking about.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example of this. We were ending a message right before Easter, and I was talking about evangelism. And because I had been collecting, I heard a message, a story from a pastor friend, and it was about this pastor who was leading people to Jesus as the Titanic was going down. And and so it's this whole story about what they call the second disaster, that there was room on the lifeboats for more people. But the main problem was that people were content with being rescued themselves, and they didn't want to be troubled with rowing back to rescue other people.
Wow.
And so you want to talk about a story that lit up everything that we had just talked about from God's word.
Wow.
And anybody I talked to, they couldn't get that story out of their mind. I didn't come up with the story. Another preacher friend told me about it, but it was perfect. And get this, I later found out I preached it on the, I think it was the 100 and whatever anniversary of the Titanic sinking.
Oh, wow.
And so just always be looking for something that can grab people at the end. And what is the clear call to action at the end? That's the final one. If you can have those elements present, you're going to do well.
I remember your message this year at Significant Leaders Retreat. You ended with a story that really drove the point home, I think, like nothing else could, to your point. I still remember.
Thanks, man.
But yeah, man.
That's Joe, awesome.
Thanks so much for joining us, man. I'm going to have you pray us out here in just a second. But I just want to say what a privilege and an honor it is to be on the webinar today. And man, we are so just thankful for so many of you that are tuning in. Whatever role you play in the ministry and church and leadership, as pastors, man, we are just so excited about what God's doing in small county America, specifically all over the United States and the world, but specifically in small county America. Man, God is really doing something special. And there are so many amazing pastors, so many amazing churches. And we just want to encourage you, man, keep going, keep staying strong. What you're doing is significant. It's in our name, and we truly, truly believe that. So thanks for spending the hour with us, the lunch hour, as my dad likes to call it. And he will be back in two Thursdays from today with Pastor Mike Ewald. And they're going to be talking about grace, about how we can lean into grace in the ministry. We need grace, how we can minister grace and different types of grace. And Pastor Mike Ewald, if you know him, he's a phenomenal person, a great pastor. And we can't wait to have him on. So make plans to be with us. And just a reminder, we have our website with resources and all kind of things that are just there to serve you. Our heart is to serve you, to champion you, and to help you continue to reach your community and man, just see small county America, see our nation continue, man. We believe revival is happening and you play a significant role in it. So thanks for coming on. Hope, I know it was. What you shared, Joe, was helpful. It really helped me a lot. And I pray you were blessed by it. We love hearing from you as well. So we can't wait for the next one. Joe, would you just say a prayer over everybody watching before we go?
Yeah, let's do it. Everybody, if you could, let's just pray together. Lord, I thank you for this amazing group of world-changing leaders and pastors. And Father, I thank you for the people that are joining in, and they're the true heroes. They're the ones that are bivocational, or they're volunteering their time at their local church. and what they're communicating is just as significant and just as important. And so I pray you would just infuse them with encouragement right now and help them to see how significant they really are. And Lord, for every pastor and every leader that is communicating your word, I just pray that today would encourage them, would lift their spirits, would help them to grow. And I thank you that there will be countless thousands of people that come to know Jesus through what they learned today and what they continue to develop as they surrender their gifts to you. And I pray that you would bless them in everything they do, bless them in every one of their churches and give them wisdom for the next steps they need to take. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, as always, this webinar will be up on our website if you want to reference it later or if you want to share it with somebody you think it'll bless. Thanks again for tuning in. Pray you have a great rest of your week. Awesome services this weekend. Pastor Joe Jr., thank you, brother. See you guys.